Chapter 27.
They gathered in the Hidden One's throne chamber, 4 dozen Keldors and 2 humans. As the last of the Keldor servants who operated the foundries arrived, conversation dropped off, and all Keldors turned toward the Hidden One on his throne. He gestured toward the Skywalkers, motioning them to approach. As they did, he offered them a benevolent smile.
"It is with whole heart that I greet you this day. I understand that you have determined to choose new names, the better to make your way among us, the better to accept your circumstances."
Luke looked surprised. "I'm sorry, Great One. There has been some misunderstanding. I did ask for a naming ceremony. I did refer to it as our naming ceremony, but I did not mean that Ben and I would be renaming ourselves. It is my hope that we will be renaming some or all of you." Exclamations of surprise and disapproval filled the room then. Ben kept his face impassive, but inwardly he was smiling. Much as he liked causing trouble from time to time, it was just as much fun watching his father do it. The Hidden One's expression darkened.
"You have wasted my time."
Luke shrugged. "What do the dead have except time? And admit it, as annoying as you find my words, this is the most interesting event you are going to experience all day." The Hidden One sat back, clearly not amused.
"And who were you going to rename first?"
"I thought, Great One, that we would start with Chara, restore his name of Charsay Saul. He was the one most recently named. We could go in reverse order, from the newest one who joined the dead to the oldest." The Hidden One sagged just a little, as if dispirited.
"Why are you doing this?"
Luke abandoned all pretense and good cheer. He drew himself up straight and fixed the Hidden One with a forbidding stare. "Because you're wrong. And if you were only wronging yourself, that would not be so bad. But you are wronging every one of them as well." His sweeping gesture took in all the assembled Keldors.
"I have accepted their sacrifice as a gift to future generations. They knew what they were doing as they offered their oaths and took their new names. There is no wrongdoing."
"Again, you're wrong." Luke sprang onto the Hidden One's throne platform, eliciting a gasp of outrage from some of the Baron Doe. He began pacing as he talked, crossing back and forth in front of the Hidden One, addressing all the Keldors before the platform. "Let's answer some simple questions. The Baron Doe sages are a group who study and utilize the Force, correct?" The Keldors looked between Luke and the Hidden One. Ben saw the Hidden One pause and then nod. One of the Baron Doe toward the front of the crowd said,
"Yes."
"And the Force is the energy of life?" Another Keldor said,
"Yes."
Luke spared an admonishing look for the Hidden One as he passed. "Life is risk. Life is energy, vitality. Yet you have rejected these things. In rejecting them, you reject the Force. In rejecting the Force, you deprive yourself of the right to teach its ways to the living. You have brought nothing to these caverns but your own bodies, and even then, you don't have the decency to start moldering like ordinary corpses." Many of the Keldors looked offended, including Chara. He stepped toward the platform, moving to the front of the audience.
"No, you're just being insulting."
"Which angers you, because you're approximately still among the living." Luke stared down at him. "The dead don't take offense, Charsay Saul."
"My name is Chara."
Luke hopped down and brushed past Chara. He walked to Ithia. "Here is a woman who used to beat you consistently in combat, Charsay Saul. Now she's no longer your match. What has happened? Has she grown feeble with age?" Chara shrugged.
"Of course not. She does not train as much down here."
"Why not?"
"There is less need."
"Of course, there is no need." Luke walked through the crowd. The Keldors stood aside to let him pass. "Thinking you're dead, knowing that you have no future, leeches all energy and hope from you, drains your very life away, diminishes you in the Force. How can you even feel a need?" Luke came to a stop in front of Wiss. "And here we have a boy who gave up his life on the surface to serve you in this place. And what do you give him besides food, water, and the opportunity to serve? Not much. Not a chance to learn, to improve himself, to grow. Growth is for living things. Here, it's as in life, so in death.